National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Another year, another spring. In days gone by, spring, to Edwin the Magnificent Montague, meant the closing days of another triumphant season on the Shakespearean stage. But today, there is little spring left in Edwin Montague. Season sadly follows season as 5 days a week, he is Uncle Goodhart, hero of an afternoon radio program. But to his wife Lily and Agnes the maid, spring remains the same. It means spring cleaning. The living room is a shambles as the eternal question presents itself, what is to be thrown out? To the mellow accompaniment of her trusty Hoover, Agnes is singing.
Welcome, sweet springtime, we greet thee with song.
Agnes! Agnes!
Wait, honey, I'll turn it off.
Agnes, has Edwin back from the hardware store yet?
No.
Just sent him to get some floor wax. He's been gone an hour.
Maybe a nearsighted robin mistook him for a worm.
Oh, now, Agnes.
Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't have said mistook him. He is a worm.
Oh, Agnes, after all, it was nice of Edwin to get out of bed this early so he could clean the bedroom.
What do you mean he got out of bed? I went over him with a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, come on. Two more minutes
and I'd have had him in the bag.
The hardware store is just around the corner. What can he be doing?
Maybe he fell into an open sewer. Let's turn on all the water faucets. Maybe he'll show up.
Stop joking. Well, let's get on with our work. We still have his den to clean out. All year, he won't let us touch a thing in there.
Who wants to? Did you get a load of the dirt in there?
It is a bit thick.
Thick? We got a decision this year. Is it going to be spring cleaning or spring planting?
Oh, don't be silly.
It's jungle in there. The other day, I got to his desk by swinging from vine to vine.
Agnes, don't exaggerate.
Exaggerate? The people downstairs think they got a new chandelier. That's the roots coming down from his den.
Well, this year I'm throwing out a lot of his stuff. Agnes, I'm starting to worry about him. There he is.
I'll get the door.
So don't just stand there. Help me with these packages.
What are in those packages?
Really, I never knew hardware stores were so fascinating. I couldn't tear myself away.
Got your beard caught in an outboard motor, huh?
You know, Lily, I almost bought a mouse trap. Then I remembered our maid has the biggest trap in New York.
Edwin, what did you buy?
Some wonderful things for my den.
Your den?
I hope you included a plow.
Edwin, we're trying to get rid of all...
Lily, these are things I need. Look at this. Isn't it wonderful?
Beautiful.
Lovely. What is it?
It's an aquarium lamp.
An aquarium lamp?
Mm-hmm, yes, the fish tank is being delivered.
A fish tank? Now you have to buy the fish for the tank.
I'll throw in a can of salmon.
When you do, don't let go of it. Look, Lily, all the equipment. Filter, seashells, pebbles.
Edwin, a fish tank. Where will you put it?
Well, on the floor until I get the stand built.
Wait, now let me understand this. Edwin, you are going to build a stand? You?
Well, Lily, I am handy.
He sure is. The one time we asked him to hang a picture, he nailed himself to the wall.
No, Agnes, dear, wait till you see what I got for you. A new kind of feeding bowl so your ears won't fall in your kennel ration.
Edwin, you can't build a stand.
I can. With these, I can build anything. Look. An electric drill with 32 attachments. A tool kit. All I have to do is use my head.
But you need wood.
You heard what he said.
All right, Agnes. Back into your bottle of Hadacol.
Edwin, we're getting rid of junk.
Junk? Look at these wonderful things.
All right, Edwin, all right. Where's the floor wax?
The what?
The floor wax.
What floor wax?
The floor wax I sent you out for.
Oh, it must have slipped my mind.
Sure, when you got a head that comes to a point, anything will slip off of it.
Agnes, why do you waste your time here?
All right, Edwin. The junk man's going to be here in a few minutes. Now, look at the stuff we've collected this year. I've got to throw it all out.
Good. Oh, wait. My bust of Shakespeare, my hockey sticks from school, my raccoon coat, the cape I wore in King Lear, my shield from Macbeth.
Edwin, it's all going. I'm clearing the house of these eyesores once and for all.
All right. If they go, it goes.
Edwin, please don't start that again.
Yes, get rid of that horrible cuckoo clock.
Edwin, it was my mother's wedding present.
Lily, I know how you feel about that cuckoo. It has such a strong resemblance to your mother. But I can't stand having it hanging around here in the house. Out it goes.
No, Edwin.
Lily, it never keeps correct time.
Well, you gotta know how to figure it.
See, it's simple.
Sure. It gains 2.5 minutes every 4 hours during the day and loses a minute every 2 hours at night. That's all. Just figure it out.
All right. What time is it now?
Now?
Yes.
Spring.
Edwin, you always hated that clock. From the day we were married, you've been trying to get rid of it.
I can't stand that miserable-looking cuckoo bird.
But when my mother comes, she'll miss it.
Well, we can have Agnes pop her head out of the kitchen door on the hour. Lily, I'm taking you down.
Oh, Edwin.
There it is. Now into the junk pile with it. Shut up! That's better.
His master's voice.
Look, Agnes.
All right, Edwin. The clock is going to be thrown out. Now relax. Oh, that's the junk man. Will you go to the door, Agnes?
And give yourself up.
I'll get it. Come in, Mike.
Hello, Mr. Galesko.
Hello, Mrs. Montague. Sorry, I'm a little late. This is my busy season. I got a little behind on my schedule.
Ah. It's all piled up for you, Mike.
How much do we get for it?
Let me see. That says in a sunset. Pretty crummy junk this year.
Now, look, no opinions. Just take it away.
I got to see what I'm buying. Sometimes it ain't worth putting on the wagon. Let me see, y'all. That says in a sunset. Hey, what's that?
That's a shield.
Shield? Old army man, eh, Mr. Montague? Infantry? Well, I'll give you 2 bits. Give you 2 bits for it.
Now, 25 cents for the shield the magnificent Montague used in Macbeth. For 500 performances, I clutched this to my breast. As I shouted before my body, I throw my warlike shield. Leon Macduff! How much for this hallowed memento?
A dime.
But, Mike!
You better quit while you're ahead.
No, Edwin, don't go.
Lily, the money isn't for us. You know, every spring we give the money Mike gives us for the junk and donate it to my Proscenium Club fun drive.
All right, Mike. How much for the whole thing?
Let me itemize.
Well, it says in a sunset.
You got a statute with no nose, a dime, something for my kids to throw rocks at. Maybe they'll lay off using me. The clothes, $0.50. The hockey stick. From the goodness of my heart, the hockey stick, a nickel. The raccoon coat. I could have it holler in the rides and throw it on my horse. That's $2. Well, that's it, $2.75. You want it all in cash?
Now, wait, Mike. You forgot the cuckoo clock.
I can't use it. That was $2.75.
Mike, the cuckoo clock. I don't want anything for it. So just get it out of the house.
Not a chance. 18 years ago, I promised myself no more cuckoo clocks. It's very personal, if you don't mind.
Mike, get it out of the house. I'll even pay you.
Mr. Montague, knock me down and take my money, go downstairs and kick my horse, tear the wheels off my wagon, scatter my load in the street and burn it, but don't ask me to take that cuckoo clock. I'll die first.
Mike, why? Why?
Why? Why? I'll tell you why. 18 years ago, I threw the cuckoo clock my mother-in-law gave my wife out of the house. My wife ain't spoke a word to me since. 18 years, not one word. If I should come home with a cuckoo clock now, it'll make her happy. She'd start talking to me again. That's why I don't want no cuckoo clock.
All right, all right. I'll get rid of it myself.
I mean, after all, I'd like to help you out. But I got a life to live, too.
I understand.
All right, here's the $2.75. My boy will pick the junk up later. I'll see you next spring, but remember.
I know, no cuckoo clock.
Check. So long.
Only $2.75. Lily, I'm going to give $50 to the Proscenium Club Fund.
Well, I'm all for it, Edwin. But what will the members think? The Proscenium Club is made up of old Shakespearean actors. They know you haven't been on the stage in 8 years. They'll get suspicious.
Yeah, whoever heard of a Shakespearean actor with $50?
Well, you're right. If they found I'm working as Uncle Goodheart in radio, I'd be drummed out in disgrace. Oh, Montague, why did you desert the stage for radio?
Oh, Montague, why did you have to eat?
Oh, Agnes, why do you have to breathe?
Edwin, please.
Lily, I'm going to give the $50. It's the spring fund for actors who need help. It's the least I can do.
So, Agnes, please see who is at the door.
Okay. Well, well, it's Mr. Jarvis, president of the Proscenium Club.
Montague, nay, not Montague, but my Lord Hamlet of yore. My Lord Hamlet, who trod the boards with me in days gone by.
Hello, Jarvis.
Aye, once again, sweet spring with her flowing green mantle has painted the green, the fair earth. Once again, the winds of spring, like horsemen heralding the new season, ride over the fields and wake them from their winter sleep. Aye, to spring. And once again, our proscenium club needs money.
'Tis a touch.
Right, I know, Jarvis, old man. Our spring fund. We must dig down.
As our beloved Shakespeare said, remember, Montague, aye, once more into the breach, dear friend. Once more.
But when the blast of war blows in our ears.
Aye, then imitate the action of the tiger.
Aye, skiver the sinews, summon up the blood.
Summon up the blood? This'll bring the cop.
All right, Agnes, that'll be enough. Tell me, Jarvis, how is the spring fund collection going?
In the words of the bard, Montague, who steals my purse steals trash.
Not a cent?
Aye, this was the winter of our discontent.
Well, now, just tell me.
Blow, thou winter wine. Thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude.
Jarvis, in other words...
Not a cent.
Noble Jarvis. You will not leave the house of Montague empty-handed. I'm giving $50 for the fund.
$50? You, Montague?
Yes, Jarvis.
Nay, we cannot take it.
Yes, but Jarvis...
We know you've not worked for 8 long years, Montague. We will not take this money on which you must live in order to resist the temptation of radio.
Jarvis, many have fallen.
Aye, they were weak.
Aye, they were hungry.
Quiet, Agnes. Jarvis, I insist on giving you the money so some less fortunate but honest actor can carry on. Here.
Aye, Montague, the Ides of March are come. But do not beware, for they cannot harm such a noble, kind, and generous man as thou. Aye, let the welkin ring and the herald trumpet sound. You, Montague, are the noblest Roman of them all.
He's trying to say thanks.
Ah, Jarvis, it's little enough that I do. As a further token, here, take this cuckoo clock. For the clubhouse.
Never.
Jarvis.
Not the cuckoo clock. No, Montague. I have always regarded it as a symbol of the happiness you and Lily have achieved in your little home.
But Jarvis, the clock is...
Never. And now adieu.
Goodbye.
So cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince.
Now, Evan, stop being silly about Mother's cuckoo clock and get ready to go to the radio station for your broadcast.
Very well, I'm going, and I'm taking that clock with me. You'll never see it again. I'm leaving it in the taxi cab.
But, Edwin...
Goodbye, Lily.
Goodbye, Edwin.
Quiet. Goodbye.
We'll be back with the magnificent Montague in just a moment. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Just imagine an hour and a half of comedy, music, and drama, the finest of each, with the greatest names in show business, presided over by Tallulah Bankhead. Well, that's The Big Show, brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday on NBC. All this and Tallulah, too. No wonder it's The Big Show. And for drama on Sunday, hear Theater Guild on the air. And now back to the magnificent Montague. He is on the air doing his Uncle Goodheart program. Listen.
Now, dear listeners,
We just have time to peek into Uncle Goodheart's mailbag with the silver lining. I have a letter from a lady who signs herself Brown Eyes. It reads, Dear Uncle Goodheart, until a month ago, my husband and I were a typically happy married couple. For the last 15 years, my husband has been self-employed. He has his own little printing press in our basement where he prints money. There was not a cloud on our horizon until a month ago, when my husband learned for the first time that the United States was printing the very same kind of money that he was. That night, my world came to an end. Uncle Goodheart, I smelled liquor on my husband's breath. He started drinking and flooding Washington with letters demanding how long the government was going to interfere with private enterprise. He refuses to work, and we are running out of money. What shall I do? Signed, Brown Eyes. Dear Brown Eyes, don't lose your head. It is not too late to save your marriage. Win back your husband's confidence by drinking with him. Then, when you are both on the same level, talk to him. Lead him back to his little press in the basement. The main thing is to get him working again. Be prepared for some pretty sloppy work at first. But remember, Brown Eyes, your future happiness depends on one thing. Your husband must print a better dollar than the government can. Then once again, you can face the world with your eyes held high into the sun and life.
So ends another episode of Uncle Goodheart. And until he meets you again tomorrow at his little cottage on the sunny side of the lane, here is Uncle Goodheart with his thought for the day.
When an avalanche wipes out your neighbor's house and he stands there a total loss, give him a slap on the back and say, "A rolling stone gathers no moss."
Mr. Montague.
Good.
Good show today. Had lots of snap.
Yes, I can hear the mind snapping from coast to coast. Now, here's our mighty radio director, Mr. Zinser.
Good show, eh, Zinser?
Yes, sir, Bob's your uncle. It was a pipperoo.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Zinser.
Say, Zinser, what's that package you've got there?
You lose anything this morning, Mr. Montague?
Lose anything? Why, no. Why?
Listen, I'll shake this package.
Oh, no!
The cab driver said you left it in his cab. He saw you come into Radio City and turned it in at the desk.
5,000 people work in Radio City. How in the world did they know it was me?
Well, cab driver said funny-looking old duck left it in his cab. Who else could it be? Oh, what I said.
No, never mind, Zinser. It's a cuckoo clock, and it's yours.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Montague, but I can't take it.
Please, Zinser, I want you to have it.
I'm sorry, but my wife is allergic to birds.
Allergic?
She just looks at a feather and breaks out in bumps.
Bumps?
Oh, it's terrible. One day, somebody sent us a live chicken. In 10 minutes, my wife looked like an O. Henry bar.
What a welcome change. Mr. Springer, how would you like this cuckoo clock?
No, thank you, Mr. Montague. We have a canary in the house who's insanely jealous.
Oh, this is ridiculous. There must be some way of getting rid of a cuckoo clock. I'm not taking it back home. It's been hanging in our living room for 15 years, reminding me of my mother-in-law.
You're lucky. My mother-in-law's been hanging around our living room for 15 years, reminding me of a cuckoo clock.
Zinser, that's no help.
And the only places I've ever seen cuckoo clocks lately are in the windows of pawn shops.
Pawn shops? Pawn shops? That's it? Boys, is there a pawn shop near Radio City?
Oh, there's a swell one across the street on 6th Avenue. Otto Schmidt's pawn shop. I've had my eyes on a telescope they have in the window.
A telescope?
Yeah. There's a woman's hotel 2 blocks from my house.
Wow-wee, wow-wow.
Zinser, Zinser. Ah, Zinza, shame on you.
A man isn't made of wood.
Zinza, now give me that cuckoo clock. I'm taking it to its new nest. Where's the pawn shop? Dark in here. Hello. Hello.
All right, all right. You here to do business or you're just going to haggle?
I'm here to do business.
Okay, then I turn on the light.
If you just look this over.
Hey, wait a minute. I remember you.
Me?
Wasn't you in here 5 years ago? You left the tenor saxophone.
I've never been here before.
I still got the tenor saxophone you left.
My dear man, I never.
Okay, okay. You stuck me, I'll stick you. That's business.
Look, I have never been here before. I've never seen you before. You've never seen me before. Is that settled?
Okay.
Good.
What do you got for me now, a trombone?
No, this. I'll put it on the counter. There.
A cuckoo clock?
Yeah.
I couldn't use it. But I'll give you $5 for your overcoat.
My overcoat?
Yeah, your overcoat. I like the fur collar. Is it real beaver? Lean over, let me blow on it.
Now let go. My dear man, I am not here to sell this coat, just the cuckoo clock.
Look, I tell you what I do with you. I give you $5 for the coat, and you can have your tenor saxophone back.
Please.
That I could use. I got chauffeurs coming in asking for coats like that all the time. $7.50, and I wouldn't ask you where you got it.
How much will you give me for the clock?
Stop with the clock. I wouldn't give a dime for it, even if every 10 minutes the cuckoo came out and sang Zwei Herzen in Drei Viertel Tag. And I love Zwei Herzen in Drei Viertel Tag. So let's stop horsing around. $10 for the coat.
No.
$10. I lose money on it. I have to have the collar fumigated. That's the law, you know.
Fumigated?
Sure. A chauffeur puts it on, catches something, zing. The Board of Health got a padlock on the hot shop.
This is all immensely interesting. Now, look, take the cuckoo clock for nothing.
Do me a big favor. Get out of here. Every 5 years you show up. First, you hang me up with a tenor saxophone with sticky valves, and now it's a cuckoo clock. What are you going to bring in next year, a spittoon?
You don't understand. You can have the cuckoo clock for nothing.
Don't do me no favors. I give you 10 cuckoo clocks for nothing. Just get them out of my basement.
But I've got to get rid of this clock.
Now you're talking. Here's my final offer. $8 for the coat. I'll take the cuckoo clock. You get your tenor saxophone back.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Take it or I'm turning off the light.
Now wait. Wait. Please take the clock.
Now listen, this is the final offer. $10 for the coat. I take the cuckoo clock. You get the tenor saxophone back and your choice of any fishing pole in the window.
Oh, no.
You're a hard man. Here's my final offer.
Hello, Edwin. You're late.
Hello, Lily.
Edwin, what's all that junk you're carrying?
We throw it out. He brings it back in.
Agnes, I've had enough today.
Well, Agnes, give him a hand.
I'd like to give him a foot you know where.
Agnes. Here, Edwin, just lay it down there. Well, what is this? A fishing pole? A saxophone? A telescope?
That's for Zinza.
Edwin, where's your overcoat?
Never mind. Been a very successful day. I got rid of that cuckoo clock.
Yes, you certainly did.
Now, Lily, it's gone. I'm never going to see it again, and I don't ever want to talk about it again.
Very well.
Spring cleaning. This is the first spring that I ever felt that the place has really been cleaned out.
Well, Agnes, telephone.
I'll get it. Yeah? What? Sure, come right up.
Who is it?
Jarvis. He called from the lobby. He's coming right up.
Jarvis?
That's funny. He was crying.
Crying?
Edwin, why should...
No, Lily. They found out that I'm in radio.
Edwin, I told you. It was that $50 you gave for the Proscenium Club fund. It made them suspicious. They know you haven't been on the stage in 8 years.
They checked up on me. Now they know. I've sold Shakespeare out this. They're throwing me out of the club.
And poor Jarvis, your oldest friend has to break it to me. Well, that's Jarvis. Agnes, get the door.
Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I.
Come in, Mr. Jarvis.
Jarvis.
Monk, Montague.
Jarvis, don't cry.
Montague, you, the noblest Roman of them all. Drop the mask. We know all.
Oh.
Everything.
How did you find out?
Guy Teasdale saw you go into that pawn shop.
Pawn shop?
Montague, little did we know that the $50 you gave for our fund was the last $50 you and Lily had in the world.
The last $50?
Guy Teasdale saw you part with your dearest possession, the symbol of your home. The cuckoo clock.
Oh, now, Jarvis.
Oh, really, Jarvis?
Aye, to think that such a warm and generous heart beats in such a cold, wicked world.
Oh, Jarvis, let me explain.
You don't have to explain. We know that only if you and Lily were starving would the magnificent Montague ever be seen in a pawn shop.
Oh, Jarvis, it was the only way.
Aye, Montague. Like Caesar, they will say of you, his life was gentle and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man.
Jarvis, I just wanted to get rid of it.
When you walked out of that pawn shop without your coat...
Oh, now, Jarvis, now. We must all make sacrifices.
But you give too much, gracious Montague. We of the Proscenium Club do have hearts. Agnes.
Yes?
Get that package I left at the door.
Okay.
Jarvis, what is it?
This year, Montague, it was very easy to know what to do with the club fund. Agnes, the package.
Here.
Montague, your home is once more complete.
Oh, no, the cuckoo clock.
It's ours, Edward.
We tried to get the coat, but some chauffeur beat us to it.
Oh, thank you, Jarvis. It's 6 o'clock. Let's have dinner.
Join us again next Friday at the same time for another transcribed visit with The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley, created and directed by Nat Hiken, written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily, Perd Kelton was Agnes. Also heard on tonight's program were Art Carney, Johnny Gibson, Gavin Gordon, and John Griggs. Jack Ward was at the organ. This is Don Pardo saying stay tuned for Duffy's Tavern, which follows immediately. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Saturday chimes mean a big evening of fun and music as Red Foley brings you Grand Ole Opry from Nashville with Minnie Pearl, Rod Brasfield, and famous guest stars. Tomorrow also means an hour of fun with the Dennis Day Show featuring songs and comedy by Dennis and the Judy Canova Show bringing you mountain-style music and mayhem.